said, it seems like you're, are you still alive? I said, no. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm still listening. So I guess, I don't know. I guess Sirius, I guess the online show, they seemed like, I don't know. They had part of Monday's show. I don't want you to harass Casey, but if you know what's going on the online, on the app, let us know. Cause we're not sure. Also at our website, too, stevepick.com. Speaking of knowing what's going on, they continue to work. Clearly the number one story yesterday and overnight and into today, the situation at Santa Anita. And the first part of yesterday of peeling back the cushion to get to the base did not yield any revelations. And they're going to, again today, they're closed for training. Everybody will have to go to the training track to jog and gallop. But some interesting notes from Mick Peterson, and the foremost expert on this topic. They're today, what they're going to do is some radar, some sounding of the base to see if there's anything, you know, that isn't apparent on the surface. But Peterson, I think, made it very clear in some comments to everybody that, you know, that is following this closely. And you can read Steve Anderson, and Dan Ross is doing it for TDN, and Jeremy Ballin for Blood Horse. And Peterson talked about the silt and the, you know, the cushion composition and what has gone on with the insane amount of rain that they've gotten. And it does sound like Peterson expects that to be the problem that has affected, you know, horses that have been stricken. And what he talked about was the runoff and the, you know, the way in which the rain will move from the crown of the track toward the rail. And as it's doing that, it is more or less sifting the rain, you know, acting as a sifting and taking, you know, certain parts of the composition with it as it moves toward the rail. And so the uniformity of the cushion, you know, then gets affected. And so he's going to go through his, and he's got a treasury, really, of composition samples. But it does make some sense that, you know, that rain and the weather, you know, has played the most important part in whatever issues the surface, you know, whatever degree it's contributing to, you know, the injuries and the incidents. So we'll watch for and wait for Mick Peterson's read, and, you know, the obvious response is to then, you know, basically take the cushion and, you know, remix it, fluff it, you know, basically reorient and, you know, redistribute, you know, everything that makes up a cushion. And you've heard, you know, you've heard different track supers in conversation explain that, you know, the amounts of clay and the amounts of silt and silica and so forth, and if it's redistributed evenly, and then, you know, then hope that weather wise we're, you know, we are getting past the rainy season. And, you know, there, over the last few years, there's been some that are, you know, that have been more intense and problematic than other years. And I know that, you know, people are you know, reintroducing conversation about the synthetic tracks into this and, you know, what, you know, that offers as a potential alternative. And again, and, you know, the rush to judgment. And I don't know if so much of the whole synthetic era, particularly as mandated in California, whether it was a rush to judgment away, you know, from the surfaces as much as the timing in the development curve of synthetic surfaces wasn't ideal. You know, you can only assume that, you know, whether, I don't know how many of the companies are even, you know, particularly still actively pursuing synthetic, you know, track surface, you know, as business right now. But I mean, internationally, certainly there's probably, you know, I don't know if, you know, remember Fiber Sand and, you know, all the various companies that were making surfaces. But you can only expect that, you know, there's been, you know, continuing improvement and innovation. And, you know, we, as an industry, you know, made this, you know, that push toward the synthetic alternative. And it's a, you know, it's a very complex discussion again, because while, you know, while catastrophic injuries diminished over the synthetics, there were other kinds of injuries, including the soft tissue injuries and, you know, a lot of hind end, you know, problems. And we had all those discussions during that period. So, I can sense that, you know, there's some of that sentiment that, you know, is out there, as part of the, you know, the concern over, you know, how quickly things can be rectified. But let's wait for Mick Peterson's, you know, final arbitration of the samples and, you know, putting the surface, you know, back down. And then that'll take some getting used to, because it doesn't, you know, when you reorient and remix a cushion like that, you know, it has to settle. So there's even, you know, there's even going to be that element in days to come. But it's, you know, it's a day-to-day challenge. In fact, one of the quotes I saw from Peterson, he talked about New Orleans, which deals with, this time of year, deals with tremendous amount of wet weather, and, you know, they having to, you know, keep, you know, close, you know, very close tabs on this. And that's why, you know, you watch in the mornings after training and you watch the track superintendents everywhere, you know, doing, you know, going through maintenance, and they all have got their own, you know, their own interpretation of, you know, how to best maintain the surface. And, you know, the extremes, the weather extremes make it that much harder. And this sure feels like right now, it feels like that's a contributing factor. And then there's the whole, as we discussed the last couple of days, there's the whole random cluster factor. I mean, because obviously you had, you know, you had all the horses that went out there. You know, obviously the horse that Mark Glatt lost, part of the, you know, part of the focus coming out of Monday, but you know, another whatever 100, what was it, 120 horses worked. I, you know, you don't. It's hard to draw concrete conclusions. That's the one. It's the one part of this that makes it so difficult. So, hopefully, to get through it. It's clearly been a struggle on a lot of fronts at Santa Anita this winter. Quick survey of what's going on here today. Pete Fornitz, Al. We'll talk to Pete after the first break. Later, Sid Fernando. Sid down, I've told you. He's down in South Florida watching son Joe Bethune-Cookman, and they're into their collegiate season. Catch up with Sid on a few of the winners so far the last few weeks when we haven't had a chance to talk, and doesn't have to be confined to three-year-old stake winners, because there's a couple of interesting. Actually, I got a whole little list I was putting together. You know, I'm still trying to catch up on some of the things that I didn't get to see live particularly over the weekend, and a few horses kind of popped up that I think may have slipped through the cracks, and also good time to be looking back over the last few weeks at some maiden winners and allowance winners that are due to, in some cases, start working back and start to look for assignments. And I wouldn't mind reaching out and getting a couple of points in from some people. One horse that came across this morning while doing some Santa Anita work and didn't get a chance to get to this horse with John White on Monday. But what about Palador? I know this is an older horse, but you had that maiden winner of Baltus in the opener on Sunday, wire to wire, and kept moving forward. That looks like a horse with some upside yet. Palador. A street cry, gelding, that was claimed back in January, beginning of January, and the first start as a four-year-old, claimed for 50, and it came back here and got a lead, which he had never gotten before. Got to the front under Rosario and just drew off going a mile. Keep an eye, that's a four-year-old, keep an eye on him. They're want to get to Al Stahl, get the prize. I haven't heard anybody come back and talk about him after that impressive maiden win on the undercard, Risen Star. He hasn't worked back. He's probably due this weekend to work back. So I'm curious. Then the ones that last Monday, beyond the Southwest win, but. The Pletcher actually with a couple. He had that spinoff at Tampa. He had Intrepid Heart at Oaklawn. The allowance winner, Laughing Fox. Let's see where he lands, what Team Asmussen wants to do with him. And then, of course, the Asmussen barn with Comedian as well. You got to think he's going to get a test at a higher level. See about a stake, and literally 24 hours after we had talked to Blaine Wright, and John White actually speculated ahead of Blaine's visit that another twist of fate might very well turn up at Sunland. Well, that's exactly where he's going to turn up. Yesterday, the news official that Blaine Wright and Mr. Redekop are going to go down to Sunland Park for the Sunland Derby. That coming on the 24th. The weekend that we'll have the Louisiana Derby on Saturday and the Sunland Derby on Sunday. And that, let me look at my official Derby trail. I did over the weekend and this week, I did launch the annual, always by March 1st, I put together the probables page at Derby Trail. And your other Sunland players. The Galilean continues to be kind of hinted that way. Todd Fincher will come back with Hustle Up. And Baffert looks to be sending Mucho Gusto in that direction, too, right now. So that group taking shape. There's other potential for Mucho Gusto. The Rebels been hinted at as well. Galilean hinted there as well. A bunch of those works to talk about, too. From, if you haven't gone to, oh my gosh, xbtv.com, you should be watching those works. Improbable. Feeling less and less improbable with every passing work as he gets ready for the San Felipe and potential confrontation with his own barnmate, game winner, and Instagram as well, and others. They're going to draw that card at Gulfstream today. Look forward to seeing that incredible slate as it comes together. And I haven't heard any other names after the circumstance involving Maximus Mischief. I haven't heard a tenth name come back into the picture. So the ones we've talked about the last couple of days feel like the nine that are going to go. There was one addition, the Gotham Field coming together. We didn't really talk about it with Andy yesterday, but Zenden, who was second to call Paul in the Swale, he's going to go up to the Gotham, go from 7 furlongs to 8. That field coming together pretty nicely, too. Mind Control, of course, starting that. We're starting off with Pete Fornatel, joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breads on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Every place on a lonely street, they call it home.
We're back at the races, 20 into hour one on this Wednesday. Pete Fornatale going to join us, and I think, yeah, there's Pete. Good morning.
Yes, I'm here and so happy to be back, Steve. I missed you. It's been a couple of weeks since we got the yap.
Yes, I got the week off unintentionally 2 weeks ago, and then intentionally last week with our antebellum tour. We basically it occurred to me about halfway through that we were hitting really I it was sort of like Sherman in reverse.
Oh dear.
I don't know where I was marching to, but from New Orleans to Mobile to Savannah and Charleston.
Looked like there was some good fun had along the way, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, we had very pleased with the way it turned out. I didn't really know what to expect, frankly, when I, Tina kind of put things in my hands. She just wanted to, she was, off for the week, and so she wanted to do something a little different. And we debated going north, actually, toward Tennessee, and then maybe up into the northern swing of like Nashville, Memphis, Nashville, Knoxville, into Asheville and Boone. I thought about that kind of a swing, but February not the greatest time to be doing the Smokies. So we'll save that maybe for, I don't know, maybe for an early summer. That might be a good time.
I like it.
Yeah, I want her to see she's not been in that range. When I worked in Charlotte, I used to get out to Asheville and Knoxville and Boone. Boone's like a little mini Asheville, really really nice. So we got exploring this country, and people are like, "Oh, why'd you go abroad?" Well, we got plenty to keep you busy right here, right? There's lots to do.
No doubt.
Well, but although
it's a hard thing with travel.
Well, and you've got the UK gig, so you get over, you get over there.
I'm heading back over on the 8th of March. I'll be covering those big Triple Crown prep races on the 9th for Sky Sports Racing. But there's some USA travel coming up too. It looks like I'm going to be headed back to Arkansas for the Arkansas Derby this year. Fingers crossed about making that happen. And there's certainly no shortage of excellent places to explore around these parts. Typically, wherever I go, you can be assured there will be horses running in some form of straight line or circle. That's my only limitation. You did a good job busting out of that paradigm on your recent travel.
Well, a little bit. It's funny you bring up Hot Springs, because I handled that trip, which is now back to back with Santa Anita, with the Santa Anita Derby. I did those bookings last night, and so we will be together at Hot Springs again.
Excellent. I've just really been charmed by that place, and it's a great time of year to be there. Rumor has it there may be a contingent of tournament players going from Arkansas to Kentucky to try to compete in the contest, which is the next day at Keeneland. We'll see if that's true, and we'll see if I can be among their number. It certainly would be fun. I hate having to choose between going to Oak Lawn and Lexington. It's been a crazy year with the UK travel and getting all this work stuff up and running. But there'll be some good stuff happening for sure in the next few weeks as we wind along the trail to the Derby and get a few more nights of work out of the UK situation as well.
Well, and remind everybody, because I can't remember the specifics either. The marathon run and the fundraising. When is that, and how can people contribute?
Oh, thank you for the chance to plug it, because it's funny, we're actually getting really close to the goal, but we're not quite there. I will probably, the easiest way to find it, I'll send out a link as we're talking, rather than give a long, complicated URL. The trip to the UK for me starts on the 9th. I'm going to do the red eye from the 8th into the 9th. and I'm going to stay all the way through the 24th. The 24th is the London Half Marathon. I'm running it for Make-A-Wish UK, and you have an opportunity to not only give to a great cause in Make-A-Wish UK, and there's plenty of information about them on the Just Giving page I'm going to send out, but you have a chance to play a little game and guess. You have a chance to guess my time in the half marathon, and if you are the winner, you will win a fabulous prize, and I will customize that to who you are and when I will see you. It could be something along the lines of a package of horse racing and or handicapping books that I've been involved in and or have extra copies of. It could be something similar in a cocktail direction with a copy of my book, Brooklyn Spirits, and maybe a couple of bottles to make something cool. Or if you're a Saratoga person, it could be the form of a meal, possibly barbecue in the backyard at Saratoga. So we want to give folks a chance to win something here by guessing my time in the half marathon. All the information is going to be on this Just Giving page that I send along, as well as a blog post that I wrote about it. But I appreciate the chance because I do want to help this cause. And like I said, we're getting super close to the goal, but we can use a little bit of help getting over the hill.
Oh, cool. I'm glad I asked, and we'll recirculate the link to everybody that
awesome
wants to chip in. Very cool. Pete, let's shift our gears into contest mode, and there's still dust settling the after effects from NHC, with obviously the last time we talked, and each year when you get a you get a new champion, obviously, and at some point, I suppose we'll have a repeater. But the winner gets kind of introduced to the circuit, and Scott Cole's doing his part here the first few weeks after the win, doing the rubber chicken circuit, and getting lots of airtime, and I always like to to hear and see the kinds of reactions that that the winner gets, and obviously some of the champions are more more verbal and more accessible than others, and feels like Scott's going to be that accessible type that I think that should pay some dividends.
He's really into it. He's relishing the role. And with good reason. He's somebody who is, I think, in many ways a template of a player that the industry should be targeting, these young analytical minds that we've talked about before on this show and elsewhere. And he believes, he very sincerely, in the minutes after winning, was talking about, geez, what can I do to help get more people like me involved, and some of it is just enlightened self-interest. He's looking for people to go and hang out at the racetrack with. But some of it is, I think, like a lot of us, he sort of intuitively feels that this endeavor we're all involved in is really cool, and he feels a little bit of a responsibility, maybe is too strong a word, but maybe not, to do what he can to help promote the game. So he, I know, is going to be involved in this Hawthorne Invitational Tournament at the end of the month. I'm still seeing if maybe I can make it out that way, and I know he's very excited about trying to find a weekend to go out to Santa Anita and appear with Tom Quigley on his show. Tom, class act that he is, and the great crew at Santa Anita, I know, have extended that invite to have him come out there. And I think he's just going to be, I think he's going to be great. I think he's looking at different opportunities within the industry to do some sort of endorsement / sponsorship stuff, not unlike Jonathan Kinchin a few years ago when he got involved. And I could really see Scott having hopefully a similar impact to JK in terms of exciting and galvanizing some younger fans. And I love that we're in this situation. And again, I'm so proud to say, Steve, that he's a listener of the In the Money podcast and a big At the Races with Steve Bick listener. It feels nice. There's this reflected glory aspect when you see somebody who credits the likes of us with getting them deeper involved. Obviously, I'm rooting for him and curious to see how the year unfolds. But I definitely think any opportunities for him to promote the sport, he's going to go out and grab them.
Well, and some of the promotion more or less it just moves on its own. It has plenty of legs just by virtue of the contest scene and at horse tourneys and at horseplayers.com and more. And I saw over the weekend guys getting and gals getting geared up for the Grade One Gamble at Keeneland, of course, one of the most popular, first half of the year opportunities. There's been a lot of play-ins in that direction. I saw a couple of qualifiers, Imad Hemeya and Greg Bone from Saturday, NHC packages that coming at horse tourneys. I saw Paul Sherman. Some of the
that's the big story,
right? The big names. Tell the Paul Sherman story.
So he competed in the Santa Anita Live Money Bankroll competition, and has now won his way into the NHC for a record. It will be a record that will be tied shortly by a couple of other players, but for the moment, a record 18th time. And the funniest thing was, we always talk about that idea that you don't choose the NHC Tour, the Tour chooses you. And I made fun of Paul early last year when he not only qualified early, but was winning, had a couple of wins. And I think I almost realized before he did, like, he's going to be stuck into this Tour again. I think as happy as he was about qualifying, he might have been equally happy that he ran third to qualify instead of winning to prevent him the emotional roller coaster of going on the Tour chase. Of course, this is Paul. He'll be playing in other tournaments, and should he get the right string of results, he would probably be out there trying to win once again. But it's the kind of thing everyone who competes on the Tour seriously, it's such a grind that having some years off in between your serious chases are definitely a good thing. And for Paul's sake, I think he was just as happy about that as he was getting there for time number 18.
And I saw right away everybody that started to started to pop up, and guys just shaking their head. And you can't say, you don't want to say the rich get richer. It's because it's not that kind of success. It's different. It's the good stay good. The good keep proving themselves over and over again.
He's a beloved figure, and players from all corners. I mean, to have a guy who commands the respect of the mainstream tournament scene. I mean, here's a guy who's in literal NHC Hall of Famer, and to have that guy be a guy who we'll call him a maverick or a firebrand like Dave Gutfreund will go out of his way to praise. If you're pleasing those two groups of people, like you're doing something right. You're doing something amazing. Who knows? Perhaps he missed out on a future in politics.
I mentioned the two winners came out of the horse tourneys qualifier, the Imad Hemeya, his story is worth noting, because last weekend he nabbed a BCBC seat, and then he follows it up the next week with an NHC, so he's ticking all the boxes.
A few years ago when I didn't work for myself and worked for somebody else, that would be a story I would have already known about and been writing about. Perhaps I'll reach out and see if that story wants to be told. Do you have contact info? Are you familiar?
We'll find it. We'll certainly. I can find it. I have got. I got those kinds of resources.
You've got a guy or a gal.
I know a guy. I know a guy. I know a guy.
Well, one thing I'm having a lot of fun with, Steve, and this could fit right into it, with the InTheMoneyPodcast.com blog. I didn't really mean for this to happen, but it's happened, and I'm so excited about it. It's just become a place where a lot of listeners are contributing handicapping content and stories. A guy I used to know from Saratoga who owed me a favor, he's going under the name Benny South Street, a reference that I figure you'll appreciate, he's been sharing trip notes on there. We had another listener who is also writing pseudonymously because he's forward deployed in the U.S. Army, but writing a tribute to Battle of Midway. It's been really fun to be able to bring some cool horse player friendly handicapping type content, and I see no reason why I shouldn't jump back into the fray, finding the occasional right tournament story to bring in there as well. So listeners should check that out. And I'm actively listening to pitches as well for content on the website. So but reach out via Twitter if you have something to say about horse playing and horse racing. Really want it to be it's not an industry news place. This is really a place for horse players to hang out. So many other people are covering that other stuff so well, but I still feel like the horse playing and handicapping side of things can use a little bit more attention on the print side especially. So check it out and reach out if you're interested.
Well, and regarding Imad Himaya, we're now reminded of his 2012 Battle of Saratoga victory for six figures.
Right.
And you may have written about him already. He's from Lindenhurst.
Yeah, I do. I mean, that was actually slightly before I started covering tournaments for the place with the letters. So I did not write that, but I've seen the name on leaderboards, and I'm now eager to reach out if an email appears, Steve. Please send it my way, and I'll take care of the rest.
All right, I will handle that through. That actually, I think a Naira. I think we go the Naira route to.
I like it
to reach him, and even though
Father Keith or Pat.
Who was handling back then? Who was handling the?
Donnie might have something.
Yeah, Donnie's probably the guy. All right. Yeah. Well, we will find him at and talk to him about his nice run. Well, Pete. Beyond that, I think we're more or less collectively starting to focus in with this Fountain of Youth on Saturday and the big card at Gulfstream. And I know they're getting potentially some rain down there today, but hopefully things will be clear. But this is obviously the next. The next wave as we get ready for, I think, 24/7 run toward Derby.
That's about right. I mean, I think it kind of kicks off in earnest, and then we won't really be able to breathe until after the Arkansas Derby in terms of prep stuff. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't done any sort of pre-work yet looking ahead to this weekend. I will be posting something over at the other At the Races, attheraces.com on Friday, been underwater on a couple of other project, so haven't, unfortunately, nothing intelligent yet to say about that stuff, but hopefully something decent will be forthcoming. And I look forward to this time of the year, these Saturday cards for the next whatever span that is, six or eight weeks. It's gonna be one thing after the other, and I look forward to writing about it and talking about it here with you.
Well, Pete, I appreciate it, and I recirculated the links for Pete's fundraiser. Give him a hand on this, and we will check in next week. We'll have plenty to look to.
Thank you so much, my friend. We will be talking soon.
Pete Fornital, Lubes Boldly, and the In the Money podcast with Jonathan, and lots of fun discussions. Let's time out here and come back and visit with Jeff Bondy. I owed Bondy a call, and figure out in California, obviously with the main track being worked on, things are probably a little quiet on the backstretch. Maybe some hand walking and some light jogging on the interior training track. So Jeff Bondy on the Sparkyville win, and what's next for Sparkyville? The Candy Ride? Yeah. Jeff Bondy, haven't talked to in ages. Looking forward to it. He's next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breads on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Listos.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down. Throughout the night, no need to fight, never a frown with Golden Brown.
We're back at the races, 15 to the top of the hour. Sid Fernando will join us. Sire Watch Pedigree Folk is brought to you by Hill & Dale. And we're going to talk about a little War of Will. We'll talk about Blame a little bit and Warfront and The Factor as well, and much more. Right now, though, delighted to get a chance to talk to Jeff Bondy, and I owe Jeff a call. We, you know, these last couple of weeks have been a little crazy, but Sparkyville, the terrific effort in the San Vicente, knocking off the two Baffert players, Desmond and Coliseum, and the way he did it was particularly noteworthy with a dogged down the middle of the track run to get by Joel Rosario, another one of the good horses he's latched on to. Jeff Bondy joins us. Jeff, congratulations. Yep. Okay, did we lose him? Looks like we lost him. I hear that awful sound of of space, that empty. Sometimes you can hear you can hear a little something, but in this case, I'm not hearing anything. We'll get Jeff. And we'll find out what's next for Sparkyville after the San Vicente win. You know, and when you have these one turn stake winners, I mentioned that Zenden, of Victor Barboza's, that's coming up to run in the Gotham. Yeah, he's taking advantage, obviously, of the, you know, the one turn from 7/8 to the 1 mile. Little trickier, in California. Yeah, but this is a candy ride, and he's out of a Stormcat mare. So, we'll see. Anxious to hear what Jeff's thoughts are. And the way he was finishing, you know, you get the sense that, you know, the two turns will be okay. As soon as Kay tells me what do we got? Yeah, and of course, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a read on. There'll be a little bit of a read too on Sparkyville if Desmond follows through with that race on Friday, with Nolo Contesto and the Roadster. So, Case is now having trouble. So it sounds almost like maybe that's weird. He had him on the phone, and now he's going to lose him. All right. Well, hang in there a second, and we'll just vamp momentarily. Yeah, speaking of maiden races, today at Gulfstream, I'll probably save this a little bit for Seth Merrow. There's a turf sprint, and this assumes that the rain. I talked to Chuck Simon earlier because Chuck's got Deputy Czar in a very good. It's a very good optional claiming mile and a 16th first level allowance that goes as the 7th. And Chuck said there's about a 90% chance of rain down there, so we'll see. But if you happen to look later at the 6th race at Gulfstream, scheduled for 5 on the grass, and there's some major pedigree action going on here. 3-year-old fillies. And how about Vinca for Calumet? This is a half to Roy H. Yeah. This one by Oxbow. Calumet fashioned themselves out of Elusive Diva. So Vinca in the hands of Mike Maker. And Roy H, of course, is a more than ready. How about Mike Trombetta, a third start for Skyphus. For Iron Horse, this is a full sister to Bochero in here. And there's more, actually. There's a second-time starter for Pletcher in Bath Stables, Mescalita. And she's a Pioneer of the Nile. She's going to have to negotiate the rail. And she's out of that nice Agave Kiss, you might remember, New York. There's also a half to Sis City, Lady Grace. There's all kinds of siblings going on in this. This is an interesting couple of races, the 6th and 7th at Gulfstream today. Let's try again with the flowery introduction to Jeff Bondy, and he joins us. Jeff, congratulations on Sparkyville San Vicente.
Oh, thank you so much, Steve. I really appreciate it.
I was looking forward to this because for those that saw the race, you know, the way he came and got Desmond and, you know, Coliseum. He got by Coliseum readily enough, but, you know, Desmond had taken over by that point. He was very determined, and he looked like a horse that, you know, has plenty more to give, and maybe around two turns.
Well, you know, it's survival of the fittest, and the horses that can get the extra distance, they get rewarded on that Derby trail.
Well, and you, I got to say, we were watching it from Vegas, and I saw that little jig you did. You were plenty pleased with the with the way it turned out.
Well, it's hard to get by those fast horses at Baffert, and that was an exciting day for us.
Talk about this horse, you know, he is a gelding, so he's going to be around, and there isn't necessarily, you know, Derby glory and that kind of stuff that is you know, vital to his future. But you know, you take advantage of every opportunity. You know, talk about his development and you know, how he came to you and those elements.
Well, I bought him for this father and son that race under Del Seco DCS at the Keeneland sale. Well, I didn't actually buy him at Keeneland. He was a buyback. Marie Jones had raised him, and I bought him at the TaylorMade buyback sale, like midway through the Keeneland sale. And we broke him and developed him to where we are currently.
Well, and you know, there was a really, I think it was in TDN, there was a wonderful piece about the Del Seco team.
Yes, they're very interested in the game, and the son, he's got a scholarship to UK coming this, he's a senior in high school, and so they're very excited to have a horse of this magnitude.
Oh, that's great. Pretty sure I've got the article here somewhere, but I was on the road for 2+ weeks, and that kind of thing I may have to go back and get to it again. But I just remembered it, you know, having kind of a optimistic tone, and how much, you know, how much fun it is for them, and you know, how excited they are. How did you get introduced to them?
Well, they live in the Northern California, in the Danville area, and I was born and raised in Northern California.
Sure.
And the boy come out and said he wanted to learn how to be around the racetrack, and it just kind of developed from there.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And so not only did you get a hot walker, you got yourself a client.
Absolutely. It was a dream come true.
Oh, that's great. As a 2-year-old, you know, because he is, well, you know, he's very, very accomplished at this point. I mean, how many 3-year-olds these days have made 8 starts at this point, February, the end of February of their 3-year-old year?
Yeah, no, he's came along and danced the dances and got better as times went on.
You also experimented, you know, a little bit. You've done a bunch of different things with him, and you know, at this point, now a Grade 2 winner. He had been, of course, Grade 2 placed in the Best Pal last summer. What do you sense is his future, Jeff? Or, you know, what course of action are you planning with him, you know, the next little while?
Well, we're looking at all options. I think his best race is you know, 7 furlongs, maybe a 1-turn mile. But he may get the extra distance with more seasoning. So we're looking at all our options.
And the grass experiments, what was your sense on that front?
The rider felt like that he didn't have a problem handling the course. He just kind of got lost out there. And it was one of them races you just throw a line through.
Well, you know, for a $170,000 purchase, he's made over a quarter of a million, and multiple graded stake placed, the Grade 2 winner, and it feels like, you know, there's plenty to look forward to from it.
No, actually, he was not $170,000. They had bought him back in the Keeneland, so that was their reserve, I guess.
Okay.
And we bought him at the buyback sale for $90,000.
Unbelievable. There you go. Tremendous. even more, I mean, from a purchase standpoint, Jeff, I mean, what to see a horse like this now, being a Candy Ride and out of a Stormcat mare, you would think all the parts were in place. I mean, what held him back, per se, do you think?
Excuse me. They sell so many horses at Keeneland, certain horses fall through the cracks, no matter how good your team and army is. I mean, to look at those, it's very difficult to put your fingers on every horse when you have the thousands and thousands of horses.
Yep.
Once in a while, a person gets lucky.
Well, and why not? Why not? Why shouldn't you? The gelding, when did the gelding occur?
Gary Stevens told us if he were going to reach his potential, we would have to consider doing that. And we took his lead because we've known Gary forever, and he's kind of one of our the owners and my good friends. He rode Spain for me, and she's a tiger, a lot of good horses, and he's a good friend to go with it. And he said he was just wasting himself going to the gate in the last couple of races prior to gelding, and when we gelded him, he became a new person.
Amazing.
Got focused and wanted to play.
There you go. And, you know, there's been, we've had plenty of this discussion. I just mentioned a sibling. You got a sister, a half sister to Roy H. that is running today at Gulfstream. And, you know, had that conversation with Peter Miller several weeks ago about, you know, a horse like that that was, you know, kind of spinning his wheels a little bit. And, you know, people knew there was something there. But until you geld him, and really, you know, give them the chance and let them focus. It's one of those amazing parts of the game, Jeff, that is something not a mystery, because I think everybody understands the mechanics of it, but it is funny that you do it, and the next thing you know, a month later, you're working with a different horse.
Yeah, sometimes it goes that way.
Well, what do you have circled right now? If you're going to keep him short, you may have to travel a little,
well,
no?
It's interesting you ask, because we nominated to the Genoa Derby and all that. I'm nominated to basically all the stakes for the meet. And so he still could do something like that. But there are some races. There's one in Oakland going short, and there's one in the Bay Shore in New York going short. So the owners and I are still in discussion.
All right. Well, either way, whether he gets a couple of tests around two turns or whether he focuses on all the great opportunities, and of course, if you're on the West Coast, you're based there, the end of the year target, the Malibu, and clearly this is a horse that, you know, is going to be, if that ends up being his, you know, his destiny, he's going to be one of the better three-year-olds on the sprint scene. Jeff, you mentioned Tiger. What about Raging Tiger tomorrow in that third race?
Well, that horse's best race has so far been 6.5 off the hill. I trained Smiling Tiger, and She's a Tiger. He's a half sibling by Giant's Causeway, and he's trained well for this race. I think he'll give his effort. I really think we got a good chance.
Well, and he's a four-year-old, and of course, at the end of January, came back for that first start and of the season. Dr. Orr, homebred, and that race came off the turf. And I guess while I've got you, Jeff, some thoughts about what's going on there right now in terms of the main track.
Well, they. We've just had a huge amount of rainfall. I read in the L.A. Times the other day that it's the most rainfall they've had in Southern California in like 60 years. And it's just made it difficult, for people to train and on those given days. We've had a good week this week as far as weather, but I think... They've got all these scientific people out here right now, and they're going to make it right. And they try to do their best to keep this place a great race place. So I think down the road it'll be okay again.
Well, and watching for Mick Peterson's conclusions, before we wrap up, I should ask a question. You mentioned Northern Cal, and you sent King of Speed up to the El Camino Real, and didn't go great. We certainly know there is some talent there. He won the Zuma Beach last year and the juvenile turf at Del Mar. Some thoughts about what's next and regrouping with King of Speed?
That horse, he got bounced around in both turns very badly. It was kind of a race that was a throwout. Fortunately, he came out of the race well. We will probably look back at grass because his best numbers have been on the turf, and we'll probably focus on more grass stakes at this point.
It makes sense, and I do want to ask you about one other too that from last year and so far this year is a 3-year-old kind of waiting for Data Storm Kitty, you know, to kind of get going again.
That's really I'm turning her out just for a freshener to see if we can get back to square one, because I think there's more in the tank than we've seen, and I'm just going to give her a little break.
No, fair enough. And sometimes did she take much time off between the end of the 2-year-old year or not really?
Not a lot, no.
Yeah. Well, it might just the old be a horse. Let them clear their head for 45 days.
Yeah, some horses appreciate that.
Absolute. Well, Jeff, I appreciate the visit and looking forward to what's next for Sparkyville and more. You're certainly nice season going at Santa Anita, and it looks like you might be on the road a little bit with Sparkyville, but that's a good problem to have.
Absolutely.
Jeff Bondi and Sparkyville and more. And we'll watch for King of Speed on the grass scene and really, you know, on the West Coast, he might, the 3-year-olds on the turf, he might boss those around a little bit. Top of the hour upon us. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and sit with Sid Fernando. Sid's down in South Florida and spends the winters tracking son Joe at Bethune-Cookman. Let's get ready for Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Talk about what's gone on the last couple of weeks. Sid Fernando next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at pabred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.